Lord, 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 Lord. Man, I want to share some scriptures tonight concerning a call to worship, praise and worship, as we call it. And I'm glad that Nina and Peter are going to be in here because they'll need to share it with the rest of the team. I've been around churches quite some time, and I've seen a lot of forms of praise and worship. When I was a little boy in traditional denominational church, we just called it the song service, and we had a song leader. And for approximately 60 years, my dad was the song leader, and my mother was the pianist. So for 60 years, I have seen some things in the world of praise and worship, or what they call in their traditional church, leading of singing, and the type of songs they do. And it's for many years when my children were small, I was a song leader, and I would lead. And during those years, we were coming out of the songbook and into more of a contemporary sound that came along with the charismatic move in the 70s. And what I learned to do was quite a bit different than the tradition. And during those times, sometimes I would start singing a song, and I might go 30 minutes and never stop. We might go through 12 or 15 songs, but they were all in harmony with one another, and we just never stop. You start with one and end with another, and you go for 20, 30 minutes. And sometimes there would be intermittent praise that would come out between the songs, but then it would just flow right back into the same melody, same harmony. And it was like a river of music and a river of praise and worship. It was beautiful, beautiful, very, very kin to what we have now, even though what we have now is a little different. But in my lifetime, I've seen praise and worship move from something that was extremely religious and ritual into something that has a lot of feeling and emotion and connection to God. And I believe if there's anything we can say about praise and worship, more than anything else, it's a connection to God. It's a way He has chosen. It's a medium He has chosen to connect to His people. And it's just amazing. There's a scripture in the book of Psalms that says God dwells in the praises of His people. And so when you get over into praise in the spiritual realm, you're where God is. And that is special. Now, all due respect to the traditional, it had its place and it had its blessing. And I've seen the power of the Holy Spirit move in tremendous ways in some very traditional services. I can remember in Teonadepa about 20 years ago, more or less, más o menos. And there was a young lady, early 20s, I suppose, at that time. And she had a song book, a hymnal. And she was leading a very traditional song service, as the older traditional church has always done. And we were there with a group of missionaries, a group from the States. And this young lady was leading, and everybody was, more or less monotone and singing their hymn out of the book. And all of a sudden, the power of the Holy Spirit hit, for lack of a better term, hit this young lady. And she threw the book in the air all the way to the ceiling. And she began to dance and shout and do twirls and just had a Holy Ghost fit. And everybody else just jumped in. And we had church, brother. And so when the Holy Spirit is invited and made welcome, the song book, as we used to know it, is not a hindrance. But we do things differently today. Now, I'm sure if we could punch the rewind and go way, way back, let's say about 4,000 years, or maybe 3,000 years, where the psalmist David was doing his singing, we'd push a rewind and go back to where King David was singing, and as a shepherd boy he was singing, I'm sure the sound would be different than what it is today. The melody would be different, the harmony would be different, the music would be different, the instrumentation would be different, the voices would be carry a different tone. It would be totally different. But who was there in that praise? Holy Spirit. So whatever the sound is being made, if the Holy Spirit is made welcome, you're going to have some things happen that are good. And I'm going to call it an evolution. I've watched an evolution in this church of our praise and worship as we've moved through various phases and various types of praise and worship. I can remember years past, we had no one on an instrument, and we would play what my dad calls canned music, and we put a cassette tape in at that time, and we would, you know, follow the bouncing ball with a transparency, you know, put a transparency up and put on the cassette, and everybody would follow the melody of the cassette. And, you know, we just worshiped God and had a good time. It's 'cause all we had. We just made the best of it. We had a good time. We just got lost in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit moved, and people were blessed. And I've watched some of you as you've come into learning to sing, learning to lead praise and worship. I mean, what we have now was developed. And out of the basis of this development from years past had many different aspects, many different roots, many different ways that God moved. But praise and worship is vital. It's important. And whether you're talking about the history or the present or the future, which we know so little about, praise and worship is where God lives. And I want, as a church, I want us to attend to that with all ears, with all heart. It doesn't in any form take the place of the preaching or the teaching of the word, but it should be a complement and a form of teaching and preaching the word. Even if our song, let's say the words on the screen, are not exact scripture as maybe your particular Bible would read, if the message is there, then it's the word of God. The word of God is not in a specific scripture out of King James or New King James or the NIV or the NLT or the Amplified or about 28,000 other translations. The word of God is the message that God saves and heals and delivers and wants to do great things in your life. I mean, that bottom line. And so if we see the message on the screen, that's God talking to us. And if we sing the message on the screen, it gets us a little bit closer to Him. And we find in the Bible various forms of praise and worship. It's not all just in the song. It's not all just in the praise. It's in what we call worship and adoration. And I just want to go through a few things along that line tonight. Let's start with the A's, adoration. Adoration is found in the Bible in five postures. Man, I wish Mark was here. I need an actor. The five postures of adoration found in the Bible: prostration. Everybody know what that means? You're just laid out on your face, on your belly, on your knees. You're laid out flat on the floor, face down. That is a posture that is biblical in some forms of adoration. Kneeling. Self-explanatory. Everybody understands kneeling. You kneel before your bride when you ask her, "Would you please be my wife?" You know, I mean, amen. If you didn't kneel before your bride, you need to do that before you get a divorce. It'll save your marriage. Now, so much for that. Ignore that last thing. Another posture is standing. Did you know you can show adoration to the Lord in a standing position? Amen. Another scriptural posture: our adoration with hands raised. We heard the Holy Spirit through Mitch tonight exhorting us. Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Raise your hands. There are scriptures that enforce that in a number of places. Raise holy hands to the Lord. Raise your hands. Now, if we go into a study of that, which I won't, I'm sure you would find various purposes, meanings, definitions of the purpose of raising the hands. In my own heart, what I see more than anything else has to do with surrender. Maybe it comes because I watched too many cops and robbers movies as a boy. You know, stick them up, you know, hands up, get your hands up. You know, even in this day and time, if the cop catches the bad guy, what's he tell the bad guy to do? Put your hands above your head. You know, that's very common. Surrender. And so when I put my hands up, I am reminded personally to surrender. Surrender my will to God. Amen. The fifth posture that is biblical is something we see very rare. I've seen it a little bit in Mexico. And it's kissing God with your hands. Say what? I don't know how else to word it. Scripture, and I believe it's the second chapter of Psalms, says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. Think of that. You know, if everybody's in praise and worship, just throwing kisses to Jesus. Why not? If there's anything I have stressed and tried to cultivate among our own praise and worship team, it's to be, go ahead and be emotional. Go ahead and give it your all. Get lost. Ignore us. Get lost up there. I mean, I've tried to cultivate that in gentle but positive ways, you know. Just lose it for Jesus. Just be what you want to be in the Spirit and, you know, just get free. Get free. Let your emotions flow and have some fun and get serious all at the same time. And so if you see us, any of us up on the platform or in the audience, any of us, if we're just throwing kisses to Jesus, it's biblical. It's one of the postures of adoration. Everybody throw him a kiss. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Have you ever throw your girlfriend a kiss, your boyfriend? Yeah. Throw the baby a kiss. Well, Jesus likes to catch them too. Interesting, isn't it? Okay. In the definitions of adoration, we find things like to speak to. If you're adoring the Lord, you are speaking to him. It's a communication. Adoration is communication. We speak to the Lord. Here, sometimes our adoration is beseeching or entreating. In other words, you're talking seriously about your needs or someone else's needs, and you're beseeching the Lord, Lord, that you would please do something in that life that needs to be done. Like you can actually adore the Lord, show your adoration to him by bringing your needs to him. Not in a form of begging, but in a form of loving and caring. And what did you say? Knowing the faith of it all, yeah. Another form of adoration or another definition is to do homage, to worship with your mouth, either by words or kiss. It's fun to find definitions, isn't it? To worship by with words or kiss. Now, here's something I just picked up as I was doing this study. I picked up something in my heart and wrote it down. And it's this. It seems that the more powerful the presence of the Lord, or the more powerful the presence of who you're adoring, the lower or weaker will be the adoree. The person that is doing the adoring begins to feel weak in the presence of he who's being adored. There's something about adoration, pure, unadulterated, from the heart, in the spirit, adoration. It brings you to a place of humbleness and weakness, and you just want to get low. One of several times that I felt, without a doubt, a call to ministry was at Barbara's dad was pastoring at the time in Albuquerque, New Mexico at West Mesa Assemblies of God. And on a Sunday night, it was a small church, just a small group, maybe 25, 30 people, about like what we've had here tonight on a Sunday night. And her dad gave an altar call, and there was a mighty move of the Spirit passing. And I went up and I began to kneel at the altar. And as I began to pray, I had this compulsion to get low. And I couldn't get low enough. And I put my whole body down. And I wanted to press my face through the floor. I had the feeling, I have to get lower. I was in such love and such presence of the Lord that I just wanted to become nothing before him. And I wanted to just get lower and lower. And I had this, what would you call it? I had this unsatisfaction of not being able to get low enough in the presence of God. Not to make nothing of myself in a negative way, but to make him so big that it felt like I was, I don't know how to explain it. And I began to share this with Barbara's mother. after the service, and she said, I know exactly what you're talking about. I have felt that. She says, it's very rare, but she said, every great once in a while, I just want to get on my face before God, and I can't get low enough to the floor because he's so powerful and just overcoming me with his presence. I tell you, that's when you're having church. I love the preaching. I love the teaching. I love the singing. I love all the different aspects of our worship service. But there's something about being in the overcoming presence that crowds out, pushes out the flesh, and allows the Spirit to live. And I want that for us, for this church. I want to get closer and closer and lower and lower, that we might exalt him higher and higher. Interesting. Can I get some water up here, please? Amen. Adoration. Well, we're alphabetical at the moment. Let's go with the dance. Ezekiel. No. Exodus. I'll get this right here in a minute. I sure appreciate the fact that you let me do this over and get it right. Exodus 15. Thank you so much, Peter. You're a man after my own heart. Exodus 15:20. I love this passage. I've used it a number of times in various exhortations. Exodus 15:20. Then Miriam, by the way, this is Moses' sister, his big sister, his older sister. Moses is 80 years old when this was written, or when this account took place, I should say, not when it was written. He was 80 years old, and he had an older sister that was old enough to go to the river and watch him float in the little ark made of bulrushes before Pharaoh's daughter found him, okay? So she was knocking 100, baby. And Miriam, the prophetess, sister of Aaron, and we can truthfully say, and Moses, took the timbrel, you know, tambourine, in her hand, and all the women went out after her, following her with timbrels, and with what? Dances. And Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. 100 years old, dancing, singing. I just love that. I just love that. I just absolutely adore that. I can't wait to see the day that we have 100-year-old grandma so on fire for Jesus and so full of the Holy Ghost that she forgets her old, she's old, forgets her age, and she starts up singing and dancing with her tambourine up here, leading all the other girls. Why not? Why not? Why not? Por qué no? I love it. 2 Samuel 6:14. Oh, isn't he good? 2 Samuel 6:14. What will we find there? David. King David decided it was time to bring the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord, into Jerusalem. And he had prepared a tent for it to stay in, where the people could come and worship there with it. And this Ark of the Covenant was, in that day and time, extremely symbolic of the presence of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord actually stayed close to that golden box. And in that box was were the tables of stone with the Ten Commandments. There was a rod made of almond wood. And this rod was Aaron's rod, the priest. And it had actually come to this dead wood, walking staff, had come to life and budded out, made almonds. It lived, and that was in the box. And then there was manna, the heavenly food that was provided for the children of Israel in the desert for all those 40 years. That was a pot of manna in this box. Okay, but anyway, David's bringing it to Jerusalem for its, at that time, would be its permanent dwelling place during his reign. And he's dancing. So I could have read it, but I told you the story. Okay, 6:14, and David danced before the Lord real timidly. No, with all of his might. And he was wearing a linen ephod, that's like an outer garment. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. Go ahead and laugh, it's okay. I laugh at myself all the time. This is praise and worship. Again, praise and worship takes many forms. God forbid that we would ever get stuck in one form. Because the Holy Spirit wants to excite our emotions in every way possible. He wants you shouting, and he wants you crying. He wants you dancing, and he wants you dead still. He wants you noisy, and he wants you quiet to hear a pin drop. He wants you to be so receptive to him and so sensitive to his presence that you'll be willing to do absolutely anything in that presence. And he will take you places that are so beautiful. He'll move your heart and he'll move your feet. And I've noticed that the more you're willing to move your feet, the easier it is for him to move your heart. He danced with all of his might. He went nuts. And his wife, Michael, did not like it. Down to verse 21, he gets back. Verse 20, actually. David returns to bless his household. Michael, the daughter of Saul, who is David's wife, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of servants, as one who the base fellows who shamelessly uncovers himself." In other words, he danced his outer garment off. He's in his t-shirt. So David said to Michael, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all of his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I'll play music before the Lord, and I'll be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight." Humble in his own sight, but wild for Jesus. Wild for the presence of the Lord. Freedom! Seems to me like I remember a scripture, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty! Oh yeah, that means you're free to cry, free to shout, all according to his unction. You don't decide what to do. He taps you on the shoulder of your soul, and he puts a desire in you, a desire that's unquenchable and unstoppable, and you just feel like you're going to burst if you don't obey God, so you just don't cry and fall and let it go. Or maybe you just, glory, hallelujah. Or maybe you just let it go. Wow. 1 Chronicles 15:29 says, this is a different account of the same thing I just talked to you about concerning David bringing the ark to Jerusalem, okay? It's another writer's account of it. And 1 Chronicles 15:29 says, "And it happened as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David," which is Jerusalem, "that Michal, Saul's daughter, looked out the window and saw King David whirling and playing music. She despised him in her heart." See, everybody won't like praise and worship like we do it. Sometimes I say, "Lord, where are all the people? We're having the best service in town. I mean, God, you are moving here today. Where are all the people?" Well, I believe there will be a day when we have a lot more people. But I also have to realize that there's a lot of people out there that are scared to death of the Holy Ghost. There's a certain gathering here in town of select churches that I used to be invited to. And one of the leaders of this gathering, who's a very quiet, back in the back, running things from the back in a quiet way, but very powerful leader, began to quiz me one night at these meetings, began to quiz me about our form of worship. And I had, I didn't have a clue what this person was after. So I just started baring my soul. I said, "Yeah, we worship, we have a great time. In fact, at the time, Nina and the group was on the platform doing a really wild Holy Ghost rock, and they were getting crazy for Jesus and crazy praise or something like that. And so this lady says, "You don't sing that stuff in church, do you?" I said, "Oh, yeah." And I started sharing. "Yeah," I said, "we sing all kinds of stuff like that." I said, "We swing from the chandeliers. We dance up and down the aisles. Yeah, I thought I was going to really encourage this person. You know, I'm going to build this person up and edify this person and let this person know there's at least one church in town that's on fire for God. Well, I haven't been invited to those meetings since. I love our praise and worship, and I'm going to keep feeding them. And Nina, you know, let's just go for it. I want the place full, but if it's just me and you, let's dance hard. Everybody won't like it, but if we obey God and He likes it, that's all that matters. And somewhere, somehow, it's got to start clicking with people that that is the power of God. That is the Spirit of God. And I long for this church to be built on the, for lack of a better term, the reputation that we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But the reason I read this scripture is because New King James says King David was whirling. Come on, Mark, come home. I need you. Whirling! Huh? I didn't do it good? Did you want me to do it better? These rubber soles won't let me. You don't want me. Hey, guys. Dancing is godly when it's done under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 149 of Psalms. Oh, yeah. 149 of Psalms. Let's just read the whole chapter for the fun of it. What do you say? Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, and His praise in the assembly of saints. That means you can praise the Lord in church. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. And we're in verse 3. Let them praise His name. How? With a what? With a what? A what? With a dance. You can praise God with a dance? Oh, I don't know about that. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people and will beautify the humble with salvation. The Lord takes pleasure. When He sees us getting lost in worship, when He sees Denise forgetting that anyone else is in the house and she turns her feet loose and it's just Denise and the Holy Spirit, nobody else is on earth, God takes pleasure in that. Wow. Well, what do we do next? Oh my, there's so much. I really want to get this right. As I consider what I have observed in my lifetime in the world of praise and worship, and as I consider what I knew as a child and how praise and worship, where I went to church and I'm still going to church, how it's developed over time and years of my lifetime, and where I see where we are now with it, I was like, wait a minute, this is big. We've come a long ways, baby. What can we expect in the next 20 years? God's not out of fresh ideas for praise and worship. He doesn't want us in a rut. He wants to continue to feed us fresh ideas. Think outside of the box. That's a pretty good term. I'm so happy. I don't know why I'm so happy at the moment. I'm going to move this up because I don't want to keep you all night. I'm going to move us up to Psalms 95 and take you verse by verse on most of that chapter. Are you there, Psalms 95? Oh, I have a hard time reading Psalms because I want to sing it. Do you ever do that? No? Yeah? Some? No. I'm glad I'm not the only strange one. Psalms 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Now, one of God's favorite kids just said that. Not that I just read it. King David. The Bible says King David was a man after God's own heart. This means that David knew the heart of God. Because this woman knows my heart. She knows how to please me. She knows what pleases me. Because she knows my heart. Because David knew the heart of God, he knew what pleases God. And the Holy Spirit made sure that these things were written down for us and preserved for 3,000 years so we would have it today. Now that's awesome right there. And David, in knowing the heart of God, clearly says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord." Let's try that. Everybody, come on. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, I want to hear you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Why not? Come, let us sing to the Lord, and let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Glory! Hallelujah! Yes! Glory! Hallelujah! Rock of my salvation, I shout to you. I shout for you. I shout with you. I shout because of you. See? See? Yeah! Verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. First thing we should do when we walk into the presence of God. First thing we should do when we feel the presence of God. First thing we should do when we realize we have come to the presence of God or he has come to us. The first second, the first thought, the first impulse should be, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You chose this moment and you chose me. You chose us. I get to be a part of this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Even if you're alone with God in your closet, closed up alone with him. Thank you. Lord, yes, yes, I know you're here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Second half of verse 2, let us shout joyful to him with psalms. Well, we're going to need to learn some psalms if we're going to shout joyfully with psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I bet that scared the heck out of the devil. Yes. For the Lord is the great God and the great King. Woo, yeah. He's above all the other little gods and little kings. Wow. In his hand. Just picture this. My God's hand, your God's hand, our God's hand. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. Ooh. And the heights of the hills, way up there on top of the mountain, are his also. Did you see what I did? I took a drink with the lid on. The day I do that and get water, you'll know it's faith. I'm all right. Oh, Jesus. Verse 5, the sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. On occasion, a couple times a year, Barbara and I have the privilege, we count it a great privilege, to stop for a day or two on the shore. Down on the coast of Mexico, we have a number of missionary tareas, assignments, in the Navajoa area and areas down in there. And on the path is one of the loveliest places on earth, the most beautiful crystal clear water. It would be a sin not to stop and look at that handiwork of God. I mean, it really would. There's been times I've stopped and I would feel guilty, like, you know, pastors and missionaries aren't supposed to enjoy life like this. It's just, this is too good. But, you know, I really think God will forgive me if I need to stop occasionally and take a day just to enjoy his handiwork, even if it is on the beach. I think he'll forgive me. Oh, please, Lord, please forgive me. You'd be surprised how rich religious minds work. There's religious minds that say you shouldn't enjoy that. But anyway, well, you know, it's part of our journey. And we don't always take a day off like, you know, you do from your work. So once in a while, we take a day off and do it there. And when I see the water, when I touch the water, when I feel the water, whether I'm in it or not, you can feel it. You can feel the ocean because it emits power. It's a manifestation of power. It's a manifestation of like the most powerful force on earth. I don't really know of any moving force on earth any more powerful than the movement of the tides. You know, trillions and jagillions of tons of water just moving. Brother, that's power. And I can feel that spiritually many times. I just am overwhelmed by it. Barbara gets close to it. She starts weeping. I mean, almost every time she'll get there. Oh, I just love this. She'll just start bawling. And she'll sit down in the sand and let the water come up and lap her on the feet. You know, and she'll just sit there and bawl like a baby. I'm saying, what's wrong? She said, I'm just having such a good time. Anybody else ever do that? There's something about the power of the sea that is very akin to the power of God. It's like God uses it to show us his power in a very real sense. If you haven't been to the sea lately, you might ought to plan it this year. Because here it says the sea is his, for he made it. He made the sea for you and me to go and see. His hands formed the dry land. You have no idea how much I love dry land. I was born and raised in a semi-arid region, very similar to this. Maybe 5 inches of rain a year more than we get here, but still semi-arid. And I love that kind of countryside. I love it. I've spent time, in years past, we used to do a lot of ministry back east. We used to have a travel trailer. We'd go all the way to Florida. We'd go up, you know, to Indiana. We'd go different places. 26-foot travel trailer with three little kids and living the life of an evangelist. And Fun. But I've seen the east, and I love the green. I just go breathe in the green, and it just does something for it. It's like the ocean. It's just, green is so good. But because of my raising and my blood, we would get back into the brown country, and we'd go, oh, we're home. I suppose that would be vice versa, you know, vice versa for somebody raised there and coming here and go back home. I don't know. But I love the dry land. God gave me a love for Arizona when he told me to move to Arizona. And when I got here, I didn't know what to expect. I'd never, as an adult, I did not know Arizona when God told me to come. I came blind and like, oh, this is Arizona. You know. And when I got here, I immediately fell in love with the dry ground. And you have no idea how many times I would be traveling on. I'd stop and get out of the car, and I'd go pick up dirt and look at it and hold it and feel it, smell it. I've even been known to wipe it on my face. I love the dirt. Laugh. It's okay. God gave me a love for this part of the country, even in the literal sense. The rocks, the cactus, the dirt, the herbs, la hierba. I just love it. I felt like I belonged to it. I felt like I can go into any of this area. The areas where God has used us in Mexico, northern Sonora, for the most part. In most of northern Sonora and southern Arizona, I feel like I belong to the earth. It's not my territory. I belong to the territory. It owns me. And I can't explain it. I'm not going to try to because I don't know how. But it's a God thing. It's part of the way God has used me. Part of the way he's kept me here. So he could use me here. I don't know. Let's go on. Verse 6. Okay, remember we're talking about adoration, dancing, praising, worshiping, right? We're moving right along. Come, let us worship the Lord and what? My version says bow down. Bow down. Let us kneel. Bow down and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Remember we talked about adoration, kneeling. For he is our God. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Let's go to 96, Psalms 96. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. You see, the heavens are already singing. We were sent here to help the earth sing. Do you get that? The heavens are already singing, but we were sent here to help the earth sing. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day and declare his glory among the nations and his wonders among the people. Where are the nations and the people? Right here on the planet that we were sent to bless, to cultivate, to help it sing. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh my, oh my. Jump down to verse 7. Give to the Lord, O families and peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come and worship into His courts. Did you know what offering He wants? This is an instruction. Bring an offering and come into His courts. You can take that literal and say, well, when I come to church, I'm supposed to bring an offering and drop it in the box. That's fine. It's good. It's scriptural. It's biblical. It's godly. You will be blessed. A good habit to develop. Come into His presence. Come to worship. You know, realize, you know, somebody had to pay for this electricity. Somebody had to pay for this building. Somebody, you know, pays, you know, for the preacher. Somebody, you know, I know nothing's for free. Put my offering in. You will be blessed. But it goes far deeper than that. The offering that He wants, that He desires, even though He will use your money through us and through the work of the kingdom, He doesn't need it. He walks on golden streets. What He wants is the offering of your person. As you come into His courts with praise, as you come into His presence, as you come to worship in the worship service, bring yourself as an offering. And give yourself, what does Hebrews 12 say? Present your body as a living sacrifice, for it's your reasonable service. It's the only sensible thing to do. Give yourself to worship. Give yourself to adoration. Give yourself to praise. Give yourself to being in His presence. Make an offering of your very most innermost being. Make an offering of your stupid head. Make an offering of your hurt body. Make an offering of your joy in the greatest day you ever lived. Whatever case may be, wherever you happen to be on that day, give it to the Lord when you come in and say, Lord, here I am. I offer myself to You. I bow down before You, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Receive this sacrifice. Receive this person. Receive my heart, O Lord. Do something in me today. That's the offering He's calling for. Bring an offering. Come into His courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness and tremble before Him, all the earth. Tremble. Oh, I love it when people tremble. I love it when somebody's trembling. They're in the presence of God. Most of us have seen that. Most of us have experienced that. Someone's in the presence of God. Maybe they're in the prayer line and the pastor, the preacher, the evangelist, whoever it is, laying hands on them and they feel the power of God. They don't know what to do, so they just... Why not? Let it go. Quit holding back your emotions. You don't need them. Give them to God. Make an offering of your emotions. Whatever your emotion is, crying or shouting, whatever your emotion is doing, make an offering of it to God and let Him use it and have it and bless it. Ooh. Oh. Verse 11, let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. Verse 12, let the field be joyful. Let even the trees of the woods rejoice before the Lord. Verse 13, for He's coming and He's coming to judge the earth, and He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. The judge of the universe, the judge of the whole world, the judge of the earth, the judge of all people, the judge of all creation will come. And the first thing He's going to want to talk about when He gets here is the last thing He said when He left. And He's going to say, have you taught my earth to sing? Have you taken the message of hope to the peoples of the earth? Have you preached the gospel to all the nations? Have you made sure every man, woman, boy, and girl had an opportunity? It's a sobering thought. And I want you to know the best way you can prepare for the day of His arrival. The best thing you can do to prepare to receive Him is to be comfortable in His presence. If you're not comfortable in His presence, by learning praise and worship, by learning and developing adoration and with a pure heart, you won't like it when the judge gets here. If you're not accustomed to His presence, it'll scare you to death. But if you have made it a habit to get lost in His presence, if you've made it a habit to enjoy His presence, you're going to rejoice when He gets here. And His Spirit will fit right in to your body, His body, our body. And He'll be able to function in a beautiful way. Oh, we've got a lot to look forward to. And in the meantime, we're learning how to praise and worship. In the meantime, we're learning how to think outside of the box and allow Him to develop our praise and worship into that that is closer and closer and closer and closer to Him than ever before. Observation is a terrific thing. And I talked a little bit about knowing church and praise and worship for many years. The observation that I've made over these years is that this thing we call praise and worship that He has developed in us has drawn us closer to Him. I don't say this with pride. I say it with great fear and trembling. But I see that. I observe that we're closer to God today than we've ever been as the body of Christ. The body of Christ worldwide today is so much closer to God than they've ever been. It's amazing. And praise and worship has been the vehicle that has taken us to where we are. Please close your eyes. Father, in Jesus' name, we stand as candidates to learn more about Your presence in praise and worship. We stand as candidates to learn more from the teaching and the preaching of Your word, even through the medium of praise and worship. Father, You said in Your word that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And Lord, in the Spirit, praise and worship, and in the Spirit are so akin to one another. And that is so where we are finding You and where You are finding us. Lord, we want to grow in this. Teach us. Lord, teach our praise and worship team. Teach them. Develop them. Keep their hearts humble. Help them to always remember that they are not performing, they are worshiping. Help them realize every service that they have an audience of one. And individually, as we, as worshipers, whether on the platform or in the pew, help us to remember also that we have an audience of one. And it is You only that we seek to please. We worship You. We adore You, sir. And we throw You this kiss in Jesus' name. I love You, Jesus. I want you to have the rest of the week as the best half. You're free to pray, worship, enjoy yourself, sit quietly, visit quietly, wait for your kids to come up. Have a great rest of the week. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share with you. I love you.